Hello and welcome to the first ever episode 20 of The Virtual Pub. I'm Jason England, and most of us can't go to the pub that doesn't serve a substantial meal at the moment, so where are we going to bring the pub?
To you!
To you!
Oh, for God's sake.
Served with the real tier 3 energy right there, ladies and gentlemen. This is the podcast that recreates your local almost exactly as you remember it before this pandemic. Just a bunch of mates having a laugh, moaning about the biggest pricks of the week, sharing some good news and doing either terribly or surprisingly better than you'd imagine in a pub quiz, all having a couple of pints. Now, thank you for that contribution there. Speaking of, I'm going to mess up the order a little bit, and we're going to go over to the instigator right there, Thorpe. How have you
Hello.
Been over these past few weeks? It's been a while, mate. It's been a while. How have you been and what are you drinking?
I have not been on this podcast mainly because of work in the past however long it's been, 2 months since I was on this podcast?
Yeah.
I have moved house into a lovely 3-bed detached, semi-detached even. Not get ahead of myself here. I no longer have... No, I don't live in that house. They're not going to fire me. My fucking dickhead neighbours. I now have a garden with a pond. If anyone wants to send anything in...
Whoa. Jesus, a intense. A pond.
I have a pond. If anyone wants to give anything to the podcast, a garden gnome would be appreciated because I'm just not enough at the end of my garden.
I thought you were going to say fish then. For the pond?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would happen.
They could send fish through the post. I suppose it's only like winning goldfish off the fair. We don't condone it if there's any vegetarians here.
Fucking hell. Back we're with off to a fly with, already.
Back with a bang. I've... Obviously, with tier 3 coming in, I am now off work for a month with 67% furlough. Thank you, Stonegate, for actually sorting that out. But apart from that, apart from the move, I've not really done a lot, to be honest. Maybe driving by Christmas, so stay off the roads. But yeah, apart from that, nothing's really happened.
Fair play. I mean, I don't know what it is, but knowing you over the past decade, I don't think I've ever envisioned you driving a car.
Oh, trust me, my driving instructor realized what type of driver I'm going to be this week. It's angry and so angry.
You're already giving people a bird, aren't you, even though you're on a driving lesson?
So this week on my driving lesson, someone drove past me, cut me up, and I literally went, "You twat."
What a twat. Yeah, I can picture that. That's the bit of and, you driving I can picture. Not the actual driving of the car, just the swearing.
Yeah, and our driving instructor looked at me and went, "Please don't do that on your test." And I was like, "We already know what type of driver I'm going to be. Fast and angry."
Just like your sex life.
I thought we were going to move on.
And I'm surprised Lindsay didn't get there first.
Let's breeze on by. Moody, how have you been over these past few weeks?
Yeah, same old, isn't it? We could have not done this for sort of 3 weeks or 3 months, and I'd have just said, yeah, it's about the same. Working across sort of three and a half, maybe four jobs. I lose track. Just doing whatever I can, really. Kind of keep stuff coming in, and there's not a lot else to do. So just kind of trying to put myself to use so that when we can actually finally go and attend gigs and sporting events and all that fun stuff that we like to do again, I've hopefully got some money. So there's not a lot really to get excited about, I guess, but you just kind of keep ticking along, working through Netflix and Prime Video and all of that. Things are good. I probably sound a bit miserable there, don't I? But things are good. And yeah, just seeing what the the next few weeks hold, I think, because obviously you guys have known for a few days. You're going into tier three as of Friday, or by the time people hear this, you'll probably be in tier three, and we're in Charnwood, which, as we're recording this on Thursday evening, it's literally just been announced going into tier two as of Saturday. So we're going to have some enhanced restrictions, but I dare say it might well be just a short period, I think, before things go further. But I'm sure we'll all talk about that shortly.
Indeed, indeed we will. And forgot to ask Thorpe, so I'll go back to Thorpe in a second. But what are you drinking, Moody?
King Goblin. Still nice. Got, so still in cans. I still work at Tesco's. It's still in cans at Tesco's, so I've pretty much always got some.
Cracking. And Thorpe, bring the tone down of the whole show. What drink are you having at the moment?
Fuck you, Jason. I'm drinking Hobgoblin.
Ooh.
Beautiful drink. Beautiful drink.
Yeah, and I also, for afterwards, I have a 12% stout when things get...
Oh, wow.
A little bit worse for wear.
God help us all when that comes out. Leo, tell us about your last few weeks and what are you drinking at the moment?
Yeah, I can echo Moody quite samely. It's just going to work and so on. I did have my flu jab the other week, my first ever one, to hopefully help me out this winter, being one of the vulnerable. Hopefully nothing much changes with work. I should still be able to go and do everything I can, and I won't be shielded again, or so to speak, or put on furlough. So yeah, looking forward to, well, it'll be tonight if people listen to this, tomorrow at 9 p.m. where we have to stop selling alcohol to patrons of the co-op, and I'm looking forward to all the abuse we're going to get. Because you know it's going to happen. But it's going to be zero tolerance, and they will be told where to swivel on if they start actually getting aggressive. And today, I'm not drinking wine because I got a coupon when I swiped my membership card at the co-op. Only £1 to join, people. For any time, or meantime London, any time, IPA or pale ale, £1 off. So I got myself a can of, well, I got two cans because it's only a 330ml. And so I'm going to see what this is, see if I hate it.
Can you even drink it?
Why?
Because of your stomach.
Well, it's not got milk in, has it?
I don't know.
Why did you think I wouldn't be?
Well, I don't know. I've got too many friends with too many different dietary requirements these days.
I've just spilled it on myself. You've never had the ingredients.
You, obviously, none of you have ever had to cater a party for your boyfriend who only eats chicken and your gluten-free, vegan, no-waste friend.
Well, so ingredients, water, malted barley and hops. So... No, I should be all right.
Oh, no waste. Oh, sorry. No waste as in rubbish.
Yeah.
I've envisioned this. Well, I don't eat gluten and I don't eat meat, so I hardly eat anything, so I'm really skinny. That's what I genuinely thought that's what you meant. No waste. Sorry, a bit slow.
I'll double check whether I can have it anyway on the internet before I start slurping.
Sorry, I've already put you out. I know there's a vodka you can't have that is made from milk. So
is there?
There is. It's called Black Cow.
I don't really drink vodka anyway. But yeah,
there is a vodka that tastes like milk. It's all right, actually. It's very smooth.
I guess you use it for White Russians and so forth.
No, it's just one of the premium vodkas, but we stopped selling it now. Well, we stopped selling everything now.
sorry. Oh. Didn't mean to light that up.
Wow. So,
Jason, how have you been and what are you drinking?
So, I am drinking, I took advantage, I got targeted by like 101 different Facebook ads. I don't know what it is. I swear Facebook's been listening to this podcast because I get targeted with so many fucking beer adverts over the past couple months. And I got an Oktoberfest special pack that has, let me try and pronounce this because the name is about 30 letters long, Augustiner Brau München.
You mean it's October? It's sounds like it's August, Oktoberfest brown beer from Munich.
Oh. Well, somebody from German at school.
I don't think anyone expected that to come out of Ben.
Yeah, Jesus.
It's about beer. It's about German beer. I've been the only person out of this podcast that's actually been to Oktoberfest.
Oh, here we go. You're turning into Lindsay now with WrestleMania. Like, well, I'm the only one that went to Oktoberfest, so...
I mean, but I've been to WrestleMania.
And I thoroughly embarrassed myself.
And to answer your question, it's kind of the same. Like, this... I feel like this past month is just kind of blurred and days have just kind of all merged together. Not being feeling the best at the beginning of the month, like felt a bit low and didn't really feel like the energy to properly get out of bed. Like, but then I don't know, like kicking myself to like launch, start up the podcast again and get planning for this episode. I don't know what it is, but today is like the first time in over 2 weeks that I've actually worn underwear and a pair of trousers rather than just wearing pajama bottoms to work.
Congratulations.
It's a big moment for me.
I'm so happy you said pajama bottoms because I do not want to know what they must have thought of you if you'd been on webcam.
Well, the webcam only sees the top half, so I can get away with anything.
Depends how... you could have been one of them guys that wears a shirt, t-shirt that's just not quite big enough.
Seems like you've been watching a lot of them, Ben.
Yes.
I've been at work. Trust me, I see a lot worse dress than that at Bloody Loxley.
This podcast sponsored by the Loxley Pub in Nottingham City Centre.
I hope you've not been going to supermarkets in just your pyjamas.
No, I haven't, but I've actually been in my jogger bottoms and my pair of flip-flops with my slipper socks because I didn't want to put my trainers on.
You've become one of those cunts.
I thought it was a power play, but apparently I'm a cunt for it. So
I think it's an interesting development, isn't it? Is that Jay's gone round the room and asked everyone what they've been up to whilst the podcast's been on. And actually, the biggest secret is that during the time we've been away, Jay's become a single mum.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
You'll be having cigarettes in your dressing gown now.
Just nipping outside for a fag.
He'll be trying to spend his Marcus Rashford tickets on fags next.
More on that later in the show.
Swiftly moving on.
This has actually just been added to the notes. The return of the prodigal daughter. Lindsay, tell me, how have you been over the past few months?
Yeah, it is a few months, isn't it? Jesus. Mm-hmm. Weird. Up and down. Because, like, everything went from, like, July until the curfew. It's fantastic. It was great. We were making money. We were having a great time. We were just busting out drinks and telling off people for disobeying rules, having a good time, making shit ton of money, making more money than we were before lockdown. Like, it was insane. And it was incredible. Amazing. It was really good. Everyone felt really awesome.
Because everywhere else was closed.
Yeah, pretty much. Like us being open past midnight was huge for us. It was awesome. But then curfew happened. And then a staff member tested positive. So I basically worked for like 2 weeks solid. Because when the curfew came in, we tried to bubble the staff. And then like staff member had to isolate. So then the bubbles all had to be mixed up and messed around. So we actually had people, because she lives with someone else who works there. So that's two members of staff out. And then the three part-timers, who were all students, all got it, or their housemates did. So they all had to isolate. So we had five people off at one time, which was a bit hectic because we only have 10 staff. And two of them are chefs. So it was a bit manic. So running the bar with like three of us. It was a bit mental. And then the numbers just started to dwindle. Have a late night bar that's open till 4 a.m. closing at 10, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work when you're the bar where everyone went when the bar shut, weren't they?
When all
the bars shut at the same time.
It just didn't work for us.
Yeah.
And so they made the decision then to shut Monday and Tuesday, which was fine. They announced that like on the Saturday, we said, well, we're just gonna shut Monday, Tuesday, it'll be fine. And then we got a call on Monday afternoon saying, no, we're only going to be open Friday and Saturday. And that was 2 weeks ago. So I'm already in lockdown mode because I've worked twice in the past 2 weeks. So I'm already in that mode of being in pajamas the entire time. And then obviously with the tier three restrictions. And even though we serve food and have got a kitchen, we weren't getting the business before. So it's pointless.
And the worst thing is, because big up Mojo, but the food is fucking great as well.
It's so good.
Like I've had the wings there, and I think I may have had something else. And do you know what? They're fucking grand.
We home smoking, man. Everything like the burgers and the wings. Oh yeah, we know you smoke at home, Lindsay. Shut up.
Hey.
But like we make our burgers from scratch and shit, and they're like £9. No one knows that we do food, and it's such good food, but we're not getting the business to try and serve as a substantial meal.
But that's a lot like it with my place as well. Like, I mean, we're closing tomorrow. Don't know if I presume I've mentioned that to you. You lot.
Hour and a half.
But yeah, we're closing tomorrow. Get to the Loxley before 10. And I've won Mojo before. We're closing tomorrow, and we do serve substantial meals, but we are obviously not taking off even on Saturdays. Like since lockdown, business has dropped by at least a third.
Yep.
And it was just becoming to. It was just starting to come back, and now we've gone into tier three. It's going to kill it again, and every industry place that isn't still open is going to be at square one again come reopen whenever that may be.
I'm
sure we'll speak about the state of hospitality at the moment in a bit, so stop for now. But so I'm already in lockdown mode and have been for a few weeks, so I don't really mind it though. Like it's going to be better now that Joey's going to be off work as well, because when he was still going to work 5 days a week and I'm sat at home, like eating because I'm bored and I'm eating and I'm getting really chunky now, guys. Like my boobs are like a size bigger. Like it's ridiculous.
I'm sure Joey fucking loves that.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
Jay, just an idea. Cause you know, our Dishy Rishi's been to a pizza place. Why don't we just make the virtual pub a limited company, and then we can all go for drinks and food? Because you can still have have staff meetings.
It's a business meeting.
And training. Someone's done this. It's £6 to get registered in a company's house, right?
Well, how much is it? £6?
£6, yeah. So virtual all we have pub to do LTD. have one of our addresses down as the premises address, and then we can go there for training and staff meetings.
I have a 6-person dining room table now.
Boom.
Exactly.
It's £1 each.
We can record the podcast, have drinks, and then play poker.
Or Monopoly.
I mean, I'm better at poker, and I'm not going to get as annoyed when someone bankrupts me with John Cena. Or for another day.
For context, for people who are listening, most of us live in Nottingham and Nottinghamshire area. So we are all, as of midnight, 1 minute past midnight on Friday the 30th of October when you're listening to this podcast, have gone into tier three. So it's the vast majority of pubs across the city centre that are closing, isn't it, guys?
That's the sound of how open they are.
That's the door creaking when they're reopened.
Yeah, but super
I'm
closed.
Sure. I'm sure whether booze will be open.
Hmm.
And obviously, the two Slug and Lettuces are staying open, aren't they, Ben?
Well, we've got, so within my company, we have got the two Slug and Lettuces staying open. And for Jay, this may be of interest to you, the Willow Tree in Westbridgeford is staying open.
Oh, okay. I've walked past it a few times. I've never been in.
But... It's the same menu as the Loxley, so it's very sort of a traditional menu. It's the food places that are staying reopened. So going back to Jay or Lindsay, I can't remember who said it now, about the Wetherspoons.
Wetherboos.
Wetherboos, or Weather Dicks, or whatever you want to call them.
Tory Spoons.
They may close some, because I can imagine, not that I'm aware, but I can't imagine a gooseberry bush does that much on food.
I think the Roebuck will stay open.
The Roebuck, Joseph Elves will obviously stay open.
Yeah.
Bar number one does a lot of food, doesn't it?
Lloyd's.
Yeah.
Lloyd's
yeah.
does a lot of food.
The way I've sort of explained it to people when they're saying, but you do food, why aren't you staying open? It's because no one goes, I wish they did, but no one ever goes, let's nip to Mojo for dinner. They always go, let's go Mojo for a drink. Whereas you would go, let's go Bunk for some food because Bunk is staying open.
Mm.
And like, oh, let's go Slug for lunch. You wouldn't like other places like that. You wouldn't say, I know even Six Barrels do food. You wouldn't go, oh, let's nip Six Barrels and have some street food for lunch. You just don't do it.
Yeah.
Because they're wet lead.
Yeah, exactly. The way I've just thought about this, I've just had a thought. If Slug's staying open, though they do substantial meals, what about if you order a Slug and Lettuce Sharer? Does that class as a substantial meal for two?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know.
Because maybe. There is a lot
they say
of
it's
food.
It's got to be. There's a rough guidelines that it's got to be over 500 calories served on a plate with.
So coffee. Yeah, it does, because everything on that menu is over 500 calories because it's all chucked in a bloody
Which
fryer.
Which is weird, because what about the things on the menu that say under 500 calories?
I did not realise that there were specific guidelines around what a substantial meal is, because
there is and there isn't. There's
yeah.
Well, it's very much like what we used to do within certain sites in Stonegate when you weren't allowed under 18s in unless you were ordering a meal. So it's a lot under those guidelines. So like a plate of chips or
a
side order of onion rings is not a substantial meal. But it tends to be when...
it's got to be something from like the starter or the main course menu, just a side.
Starters don't count because they're not a substantial. It's basically got to be a main meal.
You've got to be able to eat it with cutlery.
Yeah, okay. my point about that original was the Slug and Lettuce Sharer. Like, you get a lot of Karens going into Slug, obviously ordering a couple of cocktails and a sharer. Now, that sharer technically isn't a substantial meal. Or, because it's a load of dip. It's a load of different things, but it's not a meal. It's something you'd eat sort of mid-afternoon. Like,
I think a lot of it's going to be discretion because, like, did you hear about the place that they were selling slices of a 22-inch pizza, which obviously is fucking huge, and that one pizza slice is a substantial meal. But because it's just one pizza slice, it doesn't count.
That was in Liverpool. I also heard about a pub in Liverpool that was staying open as normal, that was serving booze, and every time the cops came around, they had some frozen pies and were just throwing, like, literally walking around and just giving them to people.
There was a pub in Bolton as well that were giving out free food, and then the council got them into trouble, and then they started selling the meals for a penny instead. It's a weird one, so like
that's and you're going to see the same. You're going to see the same in Nottingham over the coming weeks and everywhere that moves to tier three. Is there's so many, you know, places that they start with how do we stay open, not how do we be safe about the situation. It's just how do we stay open. And I think when you come at it from that angle, you'll always find a way. But is that really the right thing to be doing? I think is the bigger conversation.
Bars and pubs are the safest.
Yeah, I agree.
The pools are staying open. That's fucking disgusting. Pools are disgusting anyway.
Swimming pools are staying open.
Swimming pools are staying open.
Okay, now. I mean, I know
there's
understand...
chlorine and everything, but honestly, the swimming pools are staying open. And you can't use the change. You can't use the changing rooms to get into your swimming costume. So you've got to. They say you have got to arrive with your costume under your clothes, so you can just take your clothes off when you're there.
Oh dear me!
Oh my god!
But then you can use the private rooms to get changed in.
So you don't have to go home wearing your wet costume then.
Oh no! You can get changed out of it. You just can't get changed into it.
So you can drip yourself everywhere. Afterwards,
yeah.
Because
you've had a shower there, so it's okay, but your clothes still might have it on you. It's weird. But then, like, they're putting all these restrictions on pubs and bars, but yet they're still not bringing back queuings and one ways for Tesco, Asda, and all those big places. They've scrapped all that.
You know that mystery game you used to do when you're at school? Yeah, you write down your name and you pass it to somebody else, and they write down something, and you keep folding it over. Until you get to the end. That's what these kind of rules are like. Someone's going, right, what can we do? Well, you can go to the swimming bath, but... And someone else goes, you've got to keep your costume on before you get there. And then someone else goes, but when you come out, you can have a shower. You know, it's fucking stupid.
It's so stupid. And then, like, the hairdressers are staying open, but you can't go get your nails done.
Yeah. I could rant about that for days. I know I'm not one for... I don't have piercings, I don't have tattoos, but I know that those two industries are the most kind of sterilised out of any, I assume. Yeah. And they are the ones that have to shut, bizarrely. I know...
tattoo parlours.
Yeah, it's...
just...
bizarre.
That's our council, like, trying to get us... I think it seems to me
that...
it's
Nottingham that's doing that.
Well, you're assuming it's because... trying to close as many as we can to get enough millions from the central government.
I don't know.
For me, it seems like they're trying to... it sounds like they're trying to do it to, like, get in good books and then get out of it sooner. But then again, it's not... The cases have been falling. All right, they're still going up. But they've been falling... they've been going up at a very lower rate.
The cases aren't as bad, but the hospital admissions are.
Yeah.
That's the issue
that we've gone into.
Cases. But I was thinking, right, so you're still allowed to have, like, plumbers and electricians come to your house and stuff. So technically, if I wanted to, I could hire a tattoo artist to come to my house.
Yep.
Does that count?
No, you can't. That tattooist has to be... No, he has to say he's a plumber before he starts tattooing you. As long as he turns on a tap, it's fine. He's checking your plumbing.
Basically, my tattoos can just make his own cup of tea. Done.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
And to be fair, in the guidelines, I did check this. It just says it is advised not to perform out these treatments in your own home. They didn't say you can't. Ash, if you're listening.
To be fair, if there is any, this is going to sound so bad, but if there is any single lasses out there that want to get laid, just order a plumber and then get them to clean your pipes and then tattoo you. That dropped like a fucking lead balloon.
That won't make the edit.
It
worked so much in my head, and then I was like, and then I said it, and it just was like, no. Nah,
single ladies that listen to this Bob podcast, Ben, that demographic we have.
Apologies to the single ladies of this podcast.
all the single ladies, put your hands up.
We can't see them because we're in the medium of radio here, but I'm sure they're all up there waving about.
Have you ever put your hand up? Have you ever felt personally victimized by Ben Thorpe?
Did you hear them all hit the roof then?
Yeah, it shook the world a little bit.
Moving.
But you know what? You know when all of China jump? Double it.
Can I just say, tomorrow or maybe Saturday, Nina's going to be listening to this and she's just going to raise her hand silently into the air. Just look over at Ben. And Ben's not going to notice.
But at what, being personally victimised or being single now?
Well.
Much appreciated if that comment didn't make the edit.
We will let you see. This is one of those like good bits. We need to get these kind of things that move between episodes so that people want to listen to the next episode.
Like, no, wait, guys,
be single
guys.
By the time we get to the next episode. Let's find out.
I'm going to shut this down. What if they close the middle aisle in Lidl and Aldi?
No, mate.
But then, where would I get my trash?
Where am I going to get my three drills?
For a tenner.
Where would I get my random TOG 24 fleece and a cricket set?
Where am I going to get my flippers and scuba gear? Where do I live, Tamworth?
What?
Yeah, I miss
Tamworth's
that bit.
In what? The middle of Tamworth's in the middle of the country. There's nowhere to swim around there.
Again, what?
Because he's buying scuba gear.
Yeah, because I'm buying flippers and scuba gear.
He's what? I tell you what, he's trying to make the same joke that's on Bullseye when he wins a speedboat, but you live in Bolton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you laughed at that joke, tweet us at VirtualPubPC so that we can find out who you weirdos are. But join us after the break as we pick some pricks. Hello, it's me again, and I'm back with another plug, as you can tell from this very happy sounding ad music. If you enjoy the show, we ask that you follow it, subscribe to it, give it a positive review wherever you are, and you share the link with your friends and family, because we want to bring the pub to as many people as possible through these difficult times. We put a lot of love and heart into these shows, and we thank you for your time listening to it. Anyway, let's get back to it. Welcome back, and it's now time, as always, to pick a prick.
It's time to pick a prick.
Pick a prick.
This is our chance to chat shit about pricks of the week, or of the month, someone or something in the news. So, I will go first to get everybody back into the mood of it, because I know it's been a while since we've been on the air. And for me, it's a pretty easy choice, something that hits really close to home, literally like my hometown. As the saying goes, a leper never changes its spots. And you see that in a lot of people around you, and it's most prevalent in the politics they preach. Enter Mansfield MP and Al Murray if he became a shitty used car salesman rather than a terrible comedian, Ben Bradley. He was voted in on a wave of support because of a Labour MP in Mansfield at the time who had long neglected the area. And I won't deny personally that Red Wall MPs had become complacent in their safe seats, not actually putting in the work to change things for the better. On the face of it, he was what the area was looking for, a working class Tory, someone who held the values of a working class town close, but held the fiscal conservative values to invest in the local businesses and improve the area. Has any of that happened? That is pretty fucking debatable, but I'm not here to attack his record as a whole. I'm here to pick out one thing. There are 3,411 children who rely on free school meals in his constituency, and he voted against extending the free school meal scheme through holidays during a fucking pandemic. That has cost us not just so many lives, but so many livelihoods as well. Now, I don't think the idea of feeding children from poorer backgrounds would be a point of debate, but here we are. And I've tried to get answers from Tory MPs, asking one simple and rather than trying to shit all over them, productive question. How do we make it work? Like, it's clear the public support this. So what needs to happen to put the extension of this scheme through the holidays in place? All of them have fallen silent, except for two. First, completely separate of this, and this is a complete separate prick as well, Nicky Morgan on Question Time suggesting there may have been a more productive discussion, quote unquote, around extending free school meals if the deputy leader of the opposition, Angela Rayner, had not called a Tory MP scum. To which I say this, if you are refusing to do your job because someone called you a name, then you have a lot of people in fucking contact centres, hospitality jobs, sales jobs, literally anyone from any walk of life who has had to do something despite of the adversity they faced, you thin-skinned prick. Then secondly, there was good old Ben. He gave us a characterization of an example in his local constituency, saying on Twitter, at one school in Mansfield, 75% of the kids have a social worker. 25% of parents are illiterate. Their estate is the centre of the area's crime. One kid lives in a crack den, another in a brothel. These are the kids that most need our help. Extending free school meals doesn't reach these kids. Bradley then replied to a tweet in which another user said, £20 cash direct to a crack den and brothel really sounds like the way forward with this one, sarcastically, writing, that's what free school meal vouchers in the summer effectively did. Allow me to highlight one detail that the Tories can't seem to get their fucking heads around. Free school meal vouchers cannot be used on anything other than food. Ben Bradley even spoke about being pleased about this motion to add fail-safes to the voucher scheme being passed in Parliament in July. He even said, honestly, I don't see anything controversial about speaking up to protect vulnerable kids. So what the fuck has changed between now and then? Why has he conveniently forgotten all about this and changed his tune? And this is where I get into the leopard never changing its spots. Because maybe, just maybe, the person who in his past suggested that unemployed people should be sterilized because he doesn't want more people sponging off the system is going to be against free school meals because he doesn't want to pay for the impoverished, even though he gets £125 a week of taxpayers' money for food and drink himself. Maybe a Tory is still a Tory, no matter what the background. The rich get tax cuts and multi-billion dollar conglomerates get a pat on the back for dodging fiscal responsibilities, but a less well-off family looking for support is seen as a moocher. Do not forget what this prick has done and said when 2024 comes around, because this is pure contempt of the fucking working class. And we deserve better. But I also know that this taps into broader questions that I know that everybody is probably very, very keen to get in on here. So, guys, what are your thoughts on this whole free school meals debacle?
We shouldn't have to be having this discussion on this podcast about whether to give starving kids. I mean, I know the new Tory catchphrase is starve a kid, save a quid. But like...
nice. Oh God, nice. So
it's just absolutely ridiculous. Like, yeah, that was a joke. That's not an actual thing for anyone that is gullible enough to believe me. It's absolutely ridiculous that we need to have this conversation. But we shouldn't have to have this conversation. We shouldn't need to go this... into, we shouldn't need to be bringing this up as an actual sort of even a section on this podcast. We should be laughing about Karens, not fucking bringing up starving kids in one of the most developed countries in the fucking world.
I think the thing that frustrates me, the thing that frustrates me about this whole saga is that fundamentally everyone is actually on the same side. No Conservative MP has come out and said, I voted against the extension of free school meals because I think children should starve. No one said that, and no one thinks that. Everybody agrees that children should not be going hungry ever. It's just a, you know, it's not an opinion. It's just a fact.
So I mean,
I'll finish. The point I'm getting to is that it's one of the great dangers, I think, of giving people Twitter when they don't really understand how Twitter works. And I think that happens quite regularly with MPs, is that they're not engaging in the right conversation. So when people turn around to them and say, you know, well, why have you voted against this bill that basically is going to cause children to starve? They defend their stance on the grounds of, oh, it's not the government's responsibility to provide free school meals when the schools aren't open, or all of these things that have come out over the recent days. And then obviously it extends to some of them, such as Ben Bradley, Selene Saxby down in Devon, taking actually quite a high and mighty stance, basically along the lines of, oh, well, now all of these places are giving away free meals. I trust they won't need to seek further government support. That's not helping the conversation. That's just creating a you against us mentality. That's basically putting yourself as an MP on a different pedestal. You know, I can't possibly deal with you because, and really, it smells like I'm better than you. That's how it always reads to me.
Yeah,
and that's the thing that really frustrates me, because what's come out over the last few days, and it hasn't got any column inches because it's not a short, snappy debate, is that actually the money to feed children who need feeding during the holidays is there. It's been distributed via councils. This was done months ago. There are existing programs. I was listening to Radio 5 one morning while I was working, and they had the Conservative leader of Walsall Council on, and he basically explained that we've got all the money we need to feed any child that needs feeding during the holidays. There's a telephone number that any parent can ring, and they can basically explain their situation, and we'll make sure that we get food vouchers out to them. And that's not new. That's something that's existed for years and years and years.
I was going to say to you, Midi, there is that with Nottingham City Council as well. That has come out as well.
So it's all there. So why is it that these MPs, when they're challenged on why did you vote down the bill to extend free school meals through the holidays, why are they turning around going, it's not our responsibility, or maybe some of these businesses that have claimed loads of furlough money should be helping? Why don't they just say, well, why don't you go and speak to your local council and understand what, you know, what is needed? Because part of the problem is obviously so many people that are challenging the MPs on platforms like Twitter, they don't need free meals. They don't need food banks. So they're basically having a conversation on behalf of somebody else. But actually, when they get the right responses of, well, if you need help, here's how you can go and get help, they can then pass that on to the people that need it if they know anyone in that category. It's just that's what's really frustrated me about this whole saga, is that the argument is all around whether people should hold these opinions or not. And there's no argument as to whether they should hold these opinions. And the fact that MPs have actually had the gall to criticise Marcus Rashford for what he's been doing just shows that they are so horrendously out of touch with everything. And that's the frustration.
All you need to look at out of touch is just the language that Boris Johnson uses. Like, it's ridiculous. I mean, the one thing I would be curious to have an opinion of. Now, I don't know if Jason might know this, because I presume you've done a lot of research. Lee Anderson, obviously MP for Ashfield, Conservative.
Yeah.
Who's local to Ashfield as well. What's his opinion on all this? Because he knows how working class. And him coming from a working class background, you didn't see me there, but I did inverted commas. What's his opinion on all this? Don't know if you know it. I might be wrong.
Well, he has fallen suspiciously quiet, and I can only assume it's because of previous comments where he's asked for people who aren't able to keep up with their rent to go work in forced labour camps and all different things that have come out of him. He's a solid gold comedian.
I did just want to point this out. I'm not defending him, so don't kick off. I've heard from a lot of people that live in Sutton, like a lot of families, that he's done a lot of good things during this, like with regards to keeping people informed in Sutton.
Yeah.
Go on, Linz.
He voted no.
Oh, did he? Have you just done
there's,
a quick...
there's a website called theyworkforyou.com.
Yeah.
And it says, it shows you directly where it's where the info, you know, the infographic of all the dots came from. That's where it's from that website. And it's got a list of no's, A to Z by last name. And obviously his name is Anderson. So he's like the 10th.
I took everything that I was going to sort of try and defend him for and say, what a prick.
See, there's to put the politics hat on. I know that a lot of these are like new MPs and then don't want to get suspended or the whip removed or stuff, so they all follow party lines probably quite blindly as well without actually doing the reading themselves. They're like, right, so somebody's told me to vote this way, so I'm going to do so that way. But then that still opens them up to that other accusation of like, well, why don't you have half a fucking brain to read it yourself and see what you think about it? And then that leads to all of this stuff that Moody was talking about, where it's just a lack of information.
No, but yeah, they've got to remember that they were voted into their constituency because their constituents believe they would do the best for them. So if Lee Anderson thinks he's doing the best for Ashfield by voting no, then he's a massive no.
You have to remember that in the most recent election, people voted people in because they didn't like Jeremy Corbyn.
I was going to say it's also because of Brexit, because Boris Johnson did a number on us, come up with a gem. He went to all the places that wanted all the people that wanted to leave, and probably voted no in the '70s, no to joining in the '70s, and then one will leave.
Back to the school meal thing, there's also like a really horrible side to just like the general public, as always does with this thing. Like the amount of posts I've seen, like, oh, you don't need free school meals if you like if you've got your TV contract and a phone contract and you get your hair done every month.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Fuck off.
These people that blame the parents.
Yeah. Fuck off. Like, oh, cancel your TV subscription then. That's
They're all probably middle class or people that don't have kids.
No, but Ben, they're not. That's the thing. These are working class people who grew up on free school meals who are fucking blindsided.
It's sun readers. But if I can weigh in, because, I mean,
I've seen a 21-year-old lad post this shit. And it's like, well, you were on school meals, mate. You are working class.
It's just sharing it, though, isn't it? Just blindly sharing it.
It's just people that share. Like, this guy, this 21-year-old lad probably shared that, and then probably shared, he's probably from Nottingham, probably shared about a missing person from Walsall or a missing cat from Bolton.
Yeah. But I mean,
it's horrible things like that. And like, yeah, I had free school meals when I was a kid. And yeah, we had a TV. We had Sky TV. We had this and that. We had internet.
You need
that shit, especially these days. You need that shit because when you apply for Universal Credit, you have to go online and use their job site to log all your stuff on. So internet is a necessity. So you can't follow people for it. And then if you get the TV subscription with it most of the fucking time, it's cheaper.
I think maybe we should calm down a little bit because it seems to be getting a bit irate.
Oh no, I'm not even unleashed yet.
It's
all
right. I'll have an after rate. It'll be all right.
So like, obviously, there's three of us that normally do pick a prick. And I decided I wanted to have my say on this as well instead of finding something else. Just to go in with the politicians, the child's minister said no. What a knob. There's been loads of politicians on Twitter going, we don't want to make this a party political kind of discussion debate. It's like, well, yes, you do, because it's our future. You know, if kids are well fed, then they will learn better and they will be, you know, they will be better individuals in the future for this country. But I just want to say what's really annoyed me, and it's probably mostly trolls, but I've seen posts about various things on Twitter, and then just the gaslighting and vitriol that people are posting, like, well, you know, if you can get some eggs, so you get two eggs, and that's like 16p an egg, and you get a slice of wholemeal bread.
Right, the people who are saying you can feed a family a week for 30 quid have never had to feed a family for 30 quid a week. And some of these families don't have 30 quid a week.
Well, I know that. But he's like, you know, you go for 2 minutes and you have that. It's like, oh, who wants? Okay. I know I eat cereal every morning for my breakfast, but who wants 2 eggs every morning forever? It's not.
Never mind that, Leo. It's not healthy.
Well, no, it's not healthy.
You need a balanced diet. You need, like, you can't just eat rice and bread food.
Oh, no. Rice, trying to make a meal out of rice every night fucking bores you to death. After a week, it doesn't do anything for
you. But your kids need fruit. Your kids need a balanced diet. Like, it's like, I mean, I don't mean to bring it up, but there was one meme this week that came out, just to bring a light on. And it was a Drake meme that someone had taken Thatcher's head and put that over Drake, and it says starving miners, and then put Boris Johnson's head
in
it and said over Drake said to put starving miners, but they'd spelt them slightly differently.
Can we have a spin-off podcast? Can we have a spin-off podcast where Ben Thorpe explains memes on audio? Because
yes, that would be brilliant, actually.
I can't think of anything less funny.
But also, I just want to go back.
Just call it mansplaining memes.
Just so Jay, that's the nicest thing you've ever called me. I finally got called a man.
But just so I can get out of my system, there was another
post.
Someone saying, right, what they should do, it's a woman, so I don't know why I'm doing this voice, but what you should do is, you know, roast a chicken for 2 hours, and then you can use some of the chicken for the meal, and then you can boil the bones and make a stock, and you can make a soup and add some stuff to it. Look, who has got the gas or the electricity to roast a fucking piece of meat for 2 hours? It's either, like, most people probably do have a fridge, but they probably don't have it on because they can't afford it. These people aren't doing weekly shops. I should know. I work in a shop. These are the people that are coming for the reductions after 6 o'clock at night and trying to make a meal out of what they can. Like, stop trying to tell people how to cook. If they had the money, then yes, they would be able to do a weekly shop. They could fill their fridges, but they can't. It's either heat or eat for these people. And I don't see how people don't get that.
You guys may remember a few years back when I was in a lot of financial trouble and I was earning 50 quid a week for two of us. And I tell you what, I ate pasta and cheese for 3 weeks straight. I had to get sent home from work because I passed out from malnutrition. That, like, it's not possible. I've been in this tough place, but I luckily, because I don't have sprogs, I made it through because I'm an adult and I can deal with it. Kids are growing. Kids need that nutrient.
Exactly. They need it.
You can't just say, oh, buy the cheap stuff, because not everything's cheap.
I mean, I've seen the programs, this woman, like, she had a place, but, you know, she had the white goods from, what's it called? You know, when you rent your fridge and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bright House. What I fucking hate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Seriously. Businesses like that can fuck up. Anyway, that's another discussion. But this woman, she was having like 15 cups of sweet tea a day, because if she was hungry, she'd have a cup of tea. It'd take the hunger away. Just so she'd have enough food to feed a kid, like, an actual meal at night. And
should have had a Ryvita.
Ryvita is expensive, man.
Yes, it is, about 4 quid.
Filling, though. For a mum, anyway. Mum it was, anyway.
It's supposed to be for weight loss. Yes, Ben. We know food banks are being used ever so much more. This is after 10 years of Tory austerity, and now the Tories are saying, oh, you shouldn't have had kids then. Like, no. If you hadn't done all these cuts, people may have been able to got through this pandemic on reduced wages, on losing their jobs. But no, do not blame the kids for it, and do not blame... So some of these people may have been all right for free school meals without this pandemic. But people, like, we've got neighbours across the road. These are obviously, they've got kids that have all grown up now, but they've both been made redundant. So they're now selling up and moving. Next door to me, he's been made redundant. He's eventually found a new job. And it's just like, well, you could look at any house on your street and go, that's probably got someone who's been made redundant through this pandemic. you know. And it's so these people have, even like you and Linz and Fort, you know, you're now on reduced wages. You've said before, Lindsay, that you've, you know how to budget and you know how to, if stuff happens, to go, right, I've got to work on this now, how we make this work. And the kind of shock to the system that it's done to so many people, it must be, I don't want to be in that position. I could not think how these people must be feeling. It's like,
it's wah. Basically, when you're struggling financially, food becomes not a priority. It becomes, what it kind of goes is like, is rent, mortgage. So keeping your house, and it's keeping your house warm, keeping your house in power. And then food becomes, and then it's like, yes, I've got to keep my internet because I've got a job search and I've got to do this for that. I've got to stay in touch with people. I've got to have a phone because I need to ring the school, or I need to ring the bank, or I need to ring the Universal Credit Office. And that food's at the bottom.
Yeah, but even with heating, it's like
you can't help it, and like food cannot be your priority when you've got all this other stuff to do.
I assume with heating, it's kind of like
the average spend for a family of four on food is £100 a week, which is ridiculous money.
Yeah,
I know. Like, I obviously the pub I work in is not the. It's basically like a budget pub. And the people I know that go in there that are like worrying where their next meal's coming from. And what annoys me is you've got these like people that are worrying where they've got two kids. And then you've got the people that are like jobless and they're in the pub day in, day out. That's probably a different issue for another podcast. But it's
a coping mechanism.
They
go in the pub and it's like they'll go out and they'll meet their friends and their friend will pay for the meal. I've seen it several times during this pandemic, and it's like, what do you want them to do?
Yeah,
their friend pays for the meal, so they actually get a decent meal and they come into the Loxley for food.
The thing is, you think even now, like, people's parents will do anything for their kids. Even now, like, what? We're all adults in our 30s. And guarantee, whenever we meet our parents for lunch or for dinner, they probably pay. Because they're our parents and they don't want us to pay because they feel like they should because they're our parents.
They'll either do that or they'll always ask the question, are you okay for money? And you have to say, no, I'm doing fine. Yeah.
We're struggling because we're their kids and they'd still do anything for us.
Yeah, last time I went to my mum's, I came back with a whole run of carpet, three quilts and about five tins of food. And I'm just
we're in Chesterfield now.
And this was before the pandemic started.
So we're in Chesterfield now, and Joey's mum was here for about half an hour before she went back to her boyfriend's house, and she bought us dinner. parents do that, and the people thinking that their parents don't care about their kids is not that at all. It's just there's other things to think about. Food is not your priority, because it's not, because you're not going to die from not eating for one day.
Exactly.
But if you're having to go out on the street or go into a shelter or go into a dodgy ass hostel.
The point is, Lindsay, you shouldn't be asking families in a country this developed, which is what? Second under what? Like us in America, to be sending kids hungry? That's the point within all this. Why, as a government, are they letting kids go hungry? That's the point. Yeah. It's not a point of what their opinions are. There's people starving.
I mean, I'll go back to Jason's point, because I saw him tweet. I don't think it was Ben Bradley, but you just go, okay, then what's the answer? Because didn't Ben Bradley say it was just going to be like a sticking plastic plaster? But okay, what's the answer then? You're in government. Tell us. Extending school meals through the half term isn't the answer. What is? Oh, is it more about sorting out deprivation and poverty as a whole in deprived areas? Is that the answer? Why don't you do it then? okay.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just really fucking baffling why we pay these taxes, but they don't go to like helping all of us. Because at the end of the day, we are only as strong as the weakest among us. And I think part of it that compounds the situation, and this is partially a bit of a fact check, but also just a bit on top of it as well. So Moody, your point about councils having money to do this, and the fact that MPs were very, like you said, very indirect, and then have the gall to go after Marcus Rashford for wanting to extend this program or working with charities to do so. One of the main things that's been coming out of that is that I've just been reading about it while we've been talking, but in June, like, the government felt that despite the universal credit uplift and the £63 million for councils it already had, it still needed to step in and fund the school meals over the break.
Yeah.
However, they're now saying that in October, because they have universal credit and that same £63 million that they predicted would last 12 weeks, but the demand for like money in local councils is like far outstripped expectations because naturally we're in a pandemic, that money is not there. And they're still saying that, well, these people are on universal credit and councils still have this money. So what was it? Who was the councillor who said that? That sounds like a bit of a half truth from him.
It was, I'd need to find the interview. I want to say if it's the mayor of Walsall Council or something, I think. But I was at work at the time, so but I could probably find it on iPlayer. But they were basically I think the point is less about weirdly, I'm gonna contradict myself here. The point's almost less about whether that money is there or not. It's more about the fact that if people were actually responding to the things that are being thrown at them on Twitter with, well, here's where I think you should be directing your attention, or here's things that we've got in place that can help, rather than just saying we're not going to make this money available right now. Which I think, you know, I sound like I'm almost siding with the government on this one, and I'll probably just clarify at this point. I think voting against it on this occasion when it was needed urgently was absolutely the wrong thing to do. I think it was, you know, obviously there's a lot of football metaphors that have been used, but it was an open goal for them, and they've smashed it over the bar because it was a comparatively small amount of money, you know, especially the things that I read about. You know, obviously the government made £500 million available to subsidise restaurant bills via the Eat Out to Help Out scheme, and the money that they needed to find in order to fund the additional spend on an October half term, or the proposal was to take it through to Easter, was less than £100 million. So it was 20% of what the government put into Eat Out to Help Out. And, you know, that kind of gave me a thought as well, is, you know, a lot of people making, you know, a lot of noises around, oh, government not stepping in, supporting and everything like that. Well, you know, if it means that much, work out how much you save via Eat Out to Help Out in August and make some donations where they're needed. You know, that's something that I've actually found myself thinking about over the last few days. You know what? We went out quite a few times in August and we got our £10 discounts and everything like that. And, you know, it's a straw man argument because had the discounts not been available, we'd probably not gone out as much. But the fact is, probably indirectly made, I'd probably guess, around about 80 to 100 quid from the government out in August, or put 80 to 100 pounds of government money into the pockets of restaurant businesses during August, rather than me having to spend it myself. And there's probably an argument there to say, well, actually, did I really need to make that saving, or would that money have been better off spent, you know, by putting it into you know, it's a sad reality that we have such high food bank usage at the moment. But to Leo's point, we aren't going to solve the underlying problems overnight. So we need to support the things that need supporting now to make sure that things don't go very wrong very quickly, whilst also working on the underlying issue so that hopefully in 10 years' time it's not as much of an issue.
They don't see it as an issue, though, do they?
No, I know. And but that's always, to me, that always feels like, and it feels like a common theme in political discussions at the moment. It's, well, we're not going to spend money on it now because we should just be solving the underlying causes. That's fine, but it is a problem today, so you need to do something about it. And then when people say, well, we want to spend money on the underlying causes, it's like, well, no, you shouldn't be spending money on the underlying causes because it's urgent and it needs solving now. You should be doing both. You should be doing both simultaneously. And I just feel like that's the discussion that gets lost. And I do blame Twitter for that, to be honest. Twitter almost exclusively.
I mean, I saw another thing on Twitter. It was a clip from, I think, Julia Hartley Brewer's show, even though I hate
then it's irrelevant and doesn't count and doesn't need airtime.
She was talking to a nutritionist, and the nutritionist was saying that in the poorer children, they are seeing higher levels of obesity. And she was like, oh, what do you mean? What do you mean there's fat kids if they're poor? And she, you know, proper demonizing this nutritionist. And the nutritionist was trying to say, look, the cheaper stuff is normally full of fat and other things to bulk it out. And that's why underprivileged children are probably having this obesity kind of gain and crisis. So I would fucking hell, let her, the expert, tell you why she believes there's this correlation. Don't just fucking go, oh, fucking hell, you're making this going, oh, fuck you. I hate her. Can we just stop with politicians calling a 22-year-old footballer virtue signaler? Like, fuck off. He's doing something
with his fame.
Can we delete the words virtue signalling from the dictionary because it's such a meaningless term?
Yeah, we're going to cancel virtue signalling.
That's got to be in the title.
We can replace it with WAP.
Replace anything with WAP.
So I think the last point on this, which will kind of round us off nicely, I think, and bring it. We've gone on about this for ages. We need some happy stuff, I think. Jason, do you agree?
I agree, and that definitely came from, I know that you'll go into more detail, but I don't know if you guys saw Marcus Rashford's Twitter when all the places started coming out in support. That was like such a heartwarming feed on Twitter. Like, normally when you open Twitter, you don't go there to have a good time, but then you go onto Marcus Rashford's account, and it was lovely to see. I mean, dive into it a bit more, Lindsay. I've seen you talking about it quite regularly in the group chat.
I mean, just the amount of people, obviously I only know the Nottingham City Centre ones and I'm friends of a lot of the people, but the amount of people that have just gone, we're not standing for this, before the council announced they were doing anything, like Pudding Pantry went straight on it and Marcus Rashford actually picked up, like they're providing a free meal for all children, like there's Wing and Shrimp Kitchen, there's Clack Clack Bang, there's the Bowman and Hucknall, the Astoria around the corner from UJ, even the Nottingham Mushy Pea stall is giving kids a free hot dog, which is adorable. And then Cafe Sobar, Geek Retreat, so they can play games at the same time because like, there's no purchase required for that at all. So you can, they just go and have some fun, play some games, get a free meal, which is kind of nice, actually. And then if your kid's a bit fancy, Nottingham Street Food Club, which I think all of us quite like. Yeah. So if they like their pink pickled onions, nowhere to take them.
Who the fuck doesn't like pink pickled onions?
And then a special shout out to Bestwood Fisheries. If you haven't had Bestwood Fishery fish and chips, they are banging, but they're also doing it. But I have a special place in my heart for them because my running club used to go there. And they did, a couple of Christmases ago, they did a foot-long battered pigs in blankets.
Amazing.
So naughty. Special shout-out to them. But there's, honestly, I will just...
Go on.
So it's really heartwarming to see all these restaurants sort of banding together, despite being in a really horrible place right now, sort of financially and business wise.
Isn't the Mushy Pea store she's closing, isn't she?
No.
She said, isn't she? I'm sure I saw a post saying
something like the end of the year.
Yeah, she can't but she's... keep it going. But even then, like, she's saying, I can't keep going, but I will provide for
Yeah, I'll give exactly. And all these like the hospitality industry is kind of we're stretched, we're dying, we're clinging on to keep afloat, but yet we're still willing to do more for our communities. And that's all you can say.
I think that is the kind of the idea to try and. I know City Centre isn't local, but obviously it does have its, you know, localities. But it's all about your local high street and going there instead of to the big kind of corporations to keep people afloat, and they will pay you back, you know, for your generosity and kindness, and they will provide for the community, keep each other afloat, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe so. All these places are going to be open, so go visit them, give them a bit of extra money if you can, and just so they can keep things like this going, keep themselves afloat, tip the staff, be nice to the staff because they don't bring in the rules. But
also, just not just in the city centre, do your research for if you live outside the city centre. If you live in the Ashfield or like Hucknall or Mansfield or something like that, there are places doing this as well. So do your research.
You sounded like so much of right-wing Twitter at the moment. Just educate yourself. Do your research. I mean,
he has just started on the beer wine, he's just told me, so.
I'm pretty much about a quarter of the way down already because it tastes like chocolate.
I think we should probably just mute Ben for the rest of the episode.
Oh, it would be hilarious. Just like Darby when he's on wine.
I heard that.
Anyway, I'll finish my point. Just look on Facebook and see who's doing it, because and then go there and support your local businesses. Essentially, support local, don't go national.
Unless it's Mojo, because we are technically national.
Support the co-op because we give back to the local community. Mm-hmm. If you swipe your membership card, it won't become a member.
I got one.
Good.
Oh. I'm posh, I got myself a Nectar card.
Oh, Jesus.
You don't get anything.
Only because my local supermarket is Sainsbury's.
My local's Asda, but I still go Tesco.
Is that because every little helps?
Also, Asda have no loyalty schemes whatsoever.
No, they are.
Well, they might now. Now they're owned by British.
They probably do now. But yeah, no, they didn't do anything.
They've gone British.
No, gone back British.
Britain first.
Oh, God. That was another point, wasn't it, Linz? That fucking march by the British first twats about veterans and kids. Where are they?
Yeah, so basically, right, okay, so you don't have to put this in the episode. So do you remember, Ben will remember, there was an EDL protest in town back along, and we had to, like, shut our doors while they walked past us and stuff like that. Ben, do you remember?
If I still hear the words, we bleed the same colour blood, said by people who aren't racist, but clearly fucking are.
So basically,
then yes, I'll put someone in the face.
There was this massive EDL march, right? And it was disguised as help for veterans and child safety.
It was a march and a ride along as well. Don't forget the motorbike ride along.
Yes, there was a motorbike ride along from the embankment, Jason. So you might have heard about it as well.
It started at the
embankment.
The child safety bit was obviously to do against Asian grooming gangs, but
yes,
but we don't.
And it was like an anti Black Lives Matter protest as well.
Pretty much.
It was basically everything that EDL stand for. They're awfully quiet now, aren't they?
And all the people that say, oh, why do we give foreign aid? Why don't we up our own first? Where are they lot? Where are they
but
not?
Now they're the ones.
They're the ones going, you can feed them on 30p a day.
So, to wrap things all up, fuck Ben Bradley. Fuck the other 319 MPs who voted against free school meals. And big up to all of the restaurants and independent places stepping up to help out in the complete void that is the government, where they should actually be helping, in Boris Johnson's own words, put their arms around the people and help support them. Join us after the break as we get into some good news.
Hello.
It's the host, Jason England, and much like you would be supporting your local pub if we were allowed outside, we need your help supporting the virtual pub. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please do subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating. It will help us so much more than you could possibly imagine. And if you're listening to us from any other podcast service like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Radio Public, basically wherever else on the internet you can find us, then do go ahead and support us on there with a follow, a subscribe, whatever the interaction is on there, and share the show with your friends and family. We want to get this in front of as many people as possible because none of us can go to the pub right now, and we want to do our best to bring the pub to as many of you as possible. And that's enough from me. Enjoy the rest of the show. Welcome back, and after getting all of that shit out of our systems, it is time for some good news. And to kick everything off, again, because I know it's been a while since we've been doing this show, I've got some news to begin with. And in Fuck the Earth, I'm going to go live somewhere else news, there's water on the moon. A telescope taped onto the back of an airplane, not literally taped, something called the Stratospheric Observatory for Infrared Astronomy observed the moon and noticed that there was a lot more water on the moon than was previously thought. And the significant impact of this is the fact that NASA is planning to send astronauts back to the moon, but not just sending them to the moon, sending them there to start to permanently colonize the moon. So the fact that there's water there means that there is the potential of having life there as well, beyond having like your specific oxygen leveled atmosphere of like tubes and stuff that will like form the particular like habitation areas that we'll be living in.
Was that the scientific term?
That is very scientific. I tried my best there to try and like get to the end of the sentence while sounding as scientific as I could. It did not work. Did not work.
The Homer Simpson thing. Just put your glasses on and then you can do the training.
We're trying. I don't know, but that man looks like he's going places. But enough about the moon. Thorpe, you've got some last minute good news for us.
My actual good news was about a Chihuahua who's been named American Humane Hero Dog of the Year, who was born with a cleft palate. It's a shame her name is Little Mackenzie, but roll with it. It's a Chihuahua. Aww. And she now spends her days providing affectionate care for baby rescue animals born with birth defects. So she's basically a special needs dog. That got mentioned. That's it. She's been named Dog of the Year.
I feel so much more positive after that good news, Ben.
That was actually kind of serious good news from Ben. Yeah. Normally it's kind of like half a piss take, but no.
that's a little Chihuahua has been named Dog of the Year. You know what I mean? It normally would be a golden retriever that saves several people from dying, but it's a little dog with a deformed herself. She's got a cleft palate, and I'll send the picture over. she's making other animals feel better.
I'll send the picture over on this audio-based podcast.
Ben, you're our Chihuahua. You know that, don't you?
You can post it on the Twitter.
Ben's our special needs Chihuahua.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I didn't say that. I just said he was the virtual podcast Chihuahua. Because they both tend to shake. There we go.
Any dog shakes.
Most dogs shake when they're shitting, but there we go. Try to say that after two cans of beer.
Lindsay, save us. Give us your good news.
My good news is fucking brilliant. And I think we should, as the virtual pub, start a campaign for Christmas number one because it should be Scooter. Fuck 2020.
Fuck 2020! I resisted as long as I could. I'm sorry.
I mean, I literally discovered this about 20 minutes before we started recording. It's been released for a week, so it's still relevant.
I was going to say, can I just...
Oh my God, it's pure Scooter heaven, as you'd expect. But let's get Scooter to Christmas number
one.
Can I just point out that that was played on my release radar on Spotify?
Of course it was. In fact, it might be the I might even buy it. And I haven't bought music for a very long time. I have subscription services, but I might actually go and buy it.
/ LimeWire in the earlier years.
I might buy it on vinyl. Is it on vinyl?
I expect so.
It's the Scooter vinyl press. Fucking hell. But yes, we will be playing out the show with just a little bit, enough to not get us taken down on copyright grounds. But please do go ahead and support it.
What's that, Jason? DCMA, we're going to get DCMA.
So join us after the break as we get into the pub quiz and some final thoughts. Welcome back, and it is time for the final part. It is time for the pub quiz. Now, normally at this point, you would be hearing the oh-so-sweet, sultry voice of Daniel Dolby. But he was unable to make this show. We hope you're doing well, mate. So I am going to take over. And
just to say, Dan, people are fucking stupid.
There we go. I've missed that. Yes, inspired by Scooter, I did a little bit of digging, and we're not doing a quiz about Scooter. Just to dive in there. I found that Scooter actually formed in 1993. So, in the spirit of that, we're going to do a quiz. We're not doing a quiz about Scooters.
Ben, be quiet.
We're doing a quiz about the 90s, ladies and gentlemen. So, rules are, well, I say the rules are as they always are, but it's been a while. People may not know. I will ask a question. If you know the answer, say your name and I will go to you. If you get the question right, you get a point. If you get it wrong, you are not able to answer again on that question. Do we all understand?
Yes.
We've not forgotten.
Good. I'm saying it for podcast purposes, mate. It's not all about you.
Don't tell me off.
Oh, God. Right.
He's fucking had two shandies now, isn't he?
let's go.
My bind is the problem.
Let's crack on before he comes three shandy Ben. Question number one. What was the name of the school where Saved by the Bell was set?
Moody.
Just
Bayside, isn't it?
Bayside is correct.
Yeah.
Great band, by the way.
Great band. Absolutely wonderful.
I think that was what was throwing me. I was going to go like Bayside High or something like that, but it's Bayside.
I thought you were going to start singing.
Oh, God. Question number two before we start singing. In what year did Princess Diana die following a car crash in Paris?
Ben Thorpe.
That was Thorpe.
1998.
Incorrect.
Moody. Leo.
That was just Leo.
1997
is correct.
I got a point, Mom. Look at me.
She's not even dead.
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck off.
we're not this is not this podcast.
Question number three. What colour was Mr. Blobby and what colour spots did he have?
Moody.
Pink and yellow.
Correct.
I'm question. A go-to source of Blobby trivia.
I went to Mr. Blobby World when it was still open.
I would have got there first. I forgot my name.
For fuck's sake. You're listening to the Oh So Professional Virtual Pub Podcast, ladies and gentlemen, and we're moving on to question number four. Back in 1996, Fern Cotton began her presenting career on which programme?
Thorpe.
Jesus Christ.
What do you say, sorry?
Biggit.
Incorrect.
Fuck off.
Anybody else want to have a go?
Leo. Was it Ready, Steady, Cook?
It was not Ready, Steady, Cook.
Dun, dun, dun.
Moody.
Was she on Live and Kicking?
She was not on Live and Kicking.
It was Dig It. She started on Dig It.
Lindsay, do you want to try?
Oh, God. It's the one with Zig and Zag on, isn't it?
No, that's Live and Kicking.
No, it's not. Live and Kicking was BBC. Zig and Zag were on Channel 4.
The correct answer is the Disney Club.
What?
Mind's blown, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, butter my balls.
Right.
Or lube my bum off.
Question number five.
I don't even know where that came from.
Jay, you wanted us all back together.
I'm choking on my own saliva.
Well, my balls, she said.
I'm crying.
Have you missed us, people? Have you missed us?
That's the title.
Question number five. Which 90s dance craze came to the charts courtesy of Los Del Mar? Moody.
The Macarena.
The Macarena is correct.
Los Del Rio, isn't it?
It is Los Del
Mar.
Nah, that's wrong. Question's wrong.
You want the point or not?
My answer's right, but the question's definitely wrong.
Question number six. Which actor who died in 2019 links Beverly Hills 90210 and Riverdale?
Ben Thorpe. Luke Perry.
Correct.
Yes!
Thorpe's finally on the board.
Hey, I'm not last.
It sounds like you're fucking down the cellar, mate. What's going on?
I'm last, mate. I haven't answered yet.
Come back. Put your mic against your face.
Hang on, is that better?
No.
No.
Oh, I don't know. This must be me internet and it's Virgin again.
Whatever. Question number seven. Opal Fruits changed their name to what in 1998? Just by a millisecond, Lindsay.
Starburst.
Is do you want to listen
back? I remember the advert with the monkeys.
Question number eight.
Point, if we say they've gone back to Opal Fruits in certain pound shops.
They're probably out of date.
Yeah.
Didn't they release them? There was a limited edition run. They were calling them Opal Fruits again for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, they started them then. You crack on.
Thanks, mate. Question eight. Who presented SMTV Live alongside Lindsay?
Oh, shit. Cat Deeley.
Cat Deeley is correct.
Boom. Wild guess. It was either going to be Anthony or Cat Deeley.
So, two questions left. Moody's on three. Lindsay's on two. Thorpe and Leo are both on 1 point. Which TV series was a small screen spin-off of a 1992 movie starring Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Benjamin Thorpe. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is correct. And at question number 10. In which year did the Spice Girls have their first number one single?
Moody.
Moody.
1995.
Incorrect.
Leo.
That was Leo.
96.
1996 is correct.
Nah. Not that I bought the album or had their posters on my wall or had a massive bunch of them, but
I was a member of the official fan club.
Oof, nice.
Look nice. At me, I'm not. I'm a member of the Spice Girls Memphis Club.
All right, cunt.
I was always of the impression that Lindsay grew up in the southwest of England, not East Germany. Oh, yeah, yeah, Spice Girls flag.
But that was the Homer Simpson lardy dog.
It's more Swedish, actually, wasn't it?
Oh, hello.
So we have a clear winner. We have Moody with 3 points, but we have a three-way tie on 2 points between Thorpe, Lindsay, and Leo.
Just so to steal time. Moody's winning thunder away.
Oh. So it's time.
It's more basking time for me.
It is time for a tiebreaker, ladies and gentlemen, to break this deadlock. And we're going to do it with a bit of a question around arguably one of my favorite TV shows when I was a quid. When I was a kid.
When you were a quiz.
Which is, can you tell me the total of number of episodes of Biker Grove that aired?
Oof. Oh, fuck you.
Lindsay.
You've got to say it in a Geordie accent.
I can't do a Geordie accent.
You need to do it.
You've got to have a go.
It will not be counted if you don't try. How many did you say? Sorry?
85.
Pretty good.
85. Next up, Thorpe.
254. Ha 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 ha.
254. Okay. I'm not sure whether I should even accept that based on that accent, but Leo.
Why, I man, 120.
So,
I've just googled it up.
I can tell you that in second place was Thorpe, and in third was Leo, and in fourth was Lindsay. The total number of episodes, 344.
Thank you, because it went on. It went on for about 5 years after I started watching it, and I say root. Dog's gone somewhere. Bye.
Thanks for the dog update there. So yes, that is the current ranking order of quiz masters on this show. Congratulations to Moody for taking the win on the first podcast back, and that is everything on this week's episode. Thank you all so very, very much for taking the time to listen and for putting up with us on what has been quite a interesting couple of hours of podcasting action.
I would say it's been energetic.
It has been energetic. I do like that. That makes a lot of sense. If you'd like to support the show, please do go ahead and subscribe, follow us on whatever podcasting app or service you use, and do leave us a positive review. Do leave us a 5-star review. That helps us immeasurably to be discovered by more and more people. And if you'd like to follow us, you can find us at VirtualPubPC across Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you want to see me bashing Tories and ranting about a lot of shit, you can find me on Twitter at Mr. Jason England. Lindsay, where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at KezzyBeat. However, I don't really use Twitter. I'd go for Instagram.
Yeah. Thorpe, where can we find you?
You can find me at Ben's Face on Twitter and Instagram. That's what it's called. I don't particularly use any of them except to post Michael Bolton memes, but
nice.
Roll with it. Follow me. It's hilarious.
And last but not least, Leo, where can we find you?
Burning Paper Heart. That's burning without the G, heart without the E.
Cool. And now for some final thoughts. Do you guys remember the finale of season one? It went live the day before pubs and restaurants opened on 4th of July, and we called it an opportunity to return to some kind of normality. And Thorpe, of all the people, ended the show with probably the most significant line of any podcast episode. He said, "Don't fuck it up." Well, with a study showing that nearly 100,000 people are catching coronavirus nearly every day, it looks like this request from Thorpe was not listened to, even though everybody should absolutely listen to Thorpe. And that's not me saying it's...
Life, mate. Fucking listen to Thorpe.
It's the worst advice you can ever give.
And that's not me saying it's solely the fault of the people. Like, so many people with broad Nottingham accents seem to be saying on national news, as the BBC love to interview them. And neither is it solely the fault of the government. The reality is it lapses in judgment and fuck-ups on both sides. Some dictated by the ineptitude of this bunch of Tory pricks to give clear instructions, and some by people's willful ignorance of the simple human decency to provide space and wear a fucking mask when it's necessary to do so. A national lockdown is inevitably back on the cards, no matter how much Tory mouthpieces will say there is no plan, quote-unquote, to do one on the telly. France has just entered into one. Germany have just drastically upped their restrictions to be something very similar to a lockdown. And Wales is in a five-day lockdown. Northern Ireland has far tighter restrictions. And Scotland now has a five-tier system that includes a full lockdown. I don't care what you call it. Chances are you have a marketing team somewhere deciding that right now, whether you want to call it a circuit break or something, because you really don't want to call it that, because you don't want to give Labour that win. I get that. To which whoever in the room deciding these names drops lockdown to electric boogaloo into the mix, fire them immediately. But infections are rising sharply. Hospitals are rapidly reaching capacity. Deaths are beginning to rise, and they will continue to do so to pre-lockdown levels. And the government silence is deafening right now. They need to take action and do whatever is needed to actually put their arms around the people of this country. We need a second national lockdown and a continuation of the furlough scheme through these next months, because as the Nottingham MP, one of my personal heroes, Nadia Whittam, said, you can resurrect the economy, but you can't resurrect the dead. So take care of each other, stay safe, and we'll see you all in the next episode. Bye.
All right, Jerry Springer.
I just wanted my final thoughts. Don't compare me to Jerry Springer.
Final thoughts.